The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. He went in and said to her, "Rejoice, so highly favored, the Lord is with you." She was deeply disturbed by these words and asked herself what this greeting could mean. But the angel said to her, "Mary, do not be afraid. You have won God's favor. Listen, you are to conceive and bear a son, and you must name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and his reign will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "But how can this come about, since I'm a virgin?" "The Holy Spirit will come upon you," the angel answered, "and the power of the Most High will cover you with its shadow. And so the child will be holy and will be called Son of God. Know this too. Your kinswoman Elizabeth has in her old age herself conceived a son, and she whom people call barren is now in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible to God." "I am the handmaid of the Lord," said Mary. "Let what you have said be done to me." And the angel left her. The Gospel of the Lord. Malcolm Muggeridge, the English writer and broadcaster, converted to Catholicism towards the end of his long life after walking a long road of agnosticism and scepticism. But in his book Jesus, he recalls a working visit of the BBC to the Holy Land years earlier, and the extraordinary impact of sitting in the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem. And as he sat in the relative darkness, he could see the silver star that marks the spot where Jesus is believed to have born. Some of us just over 2 years ago were privileged in the early hours of the morning, I think it was about 4:30, 4:45 in the morning, when we were allowed to have our Mass there by that very spot. But Muggeridge's heart was deeply moved as he sat watching the silent flow of people of all nationalities, of all ages, and of everything. They quietly and devoutly passed by, reverencing this great mystery above all mysteries, that a young, innocent girl in a small village in Israel was chosen to be the mother of God. As we've heard just again, that very familiar gospel of the Annunciation, the angel Gabriel coming to Mary. There can always be a challenge when we're over familiar with something, a bit like looking at a picture. You've probably maybe got a picture on your wall, or more even a photograph that may be your wedding day or your mother's wedding day or some great family occasion, and it's there all the time. And in some ways you notice it, in other ways you don't. And then maybe a visitor comes and points something out, and you'd not seen it or you'd not noticed it for so long. Because sometimes we can fail to see the treasure there before us. So focus today on the yes, the simple yes that Mary said in response to the message of the angel. Because that yes is her acceptance of God's will. That's the most momentous and profound moment ever spoken in human history, because human history was totally changed, as it were, by that yes, because God comes into the world. It opens up for us the way for the incarnation of Jesus, the Son and Savior, to be born of that Virgin Mary. In all the Christmas stories, and there's been controversy this year whether nativity plays, I don't mean just here in Penzance, I mean nationally, there's been things in the papers about nativity plays. Well, we had ours here, and the whole school was involved, and the age-old story played out. And there's a sense in which that's right. So we had John the Baptist, and we had the angel Gabriel, and we had the choir of angels, and we had Joseph, and we had Mary, we had the baby and the shepherds, and all the things. But there, because it's the truth, and it's full of beauty, and it's full of hope. It's full of hope because it describes the coming of Jesus, God's only Son, into the world. And as we shall sing after the, well, you won't, the choir will sing, O Magnum Mysterium, O Great Mystery. That's what it is. It's a great mystery that the Blessed Trinity, all of them involved in the incarnation, can come into this world. The Blessed Trinity, because God sends the angel Gabriel, the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, sent to sanctify the womb of the Virgin Mary, causing her to conceive the eternal Son of the Father. And she accepts that responsibility, that greatest, most awesome of all responsibilities, with that, let it be done to me. And that's why, rightly, by most Christians in the world, she is most blessed of all women. And that prophecy, the first reading we had from the second book of Samuel to King David, picked up in that opening here, hail to the Lord's anointed, great David's greater son, is now to be definitively fulfilled in the child to be born, whose reign will have no end. And that's why in these days of Advent, as we're looking forward to all that, the Sunday before we get to Advent is Christ the King reminding us that we've followed all his life through that year and his reign will have no end. But there's still much to learn from Mary. Most importantly, the sublime and beautiful way in which God reaches into human history and into human lives. That covenant that was spoken of in the first reading, that God makes with the world, revealed through the preaching of the prophets. It's always the reading of prophecy, particularly, of course, in Advent and Lent, but now, of course, always Old Testament reading, because the prophets proclaiming all that, the Lord in the whole of creation. But it's always worked out in individual lives. So it was Samuel and David and the descendants and God blessing all the generations and then going to this simple, humble virgin in Nazareth to tell her or ask her, don't, the Lord is with you. Don't be afraid, Mary. God is asking this of you. Pope Francis has been saying, let us never tire of learning from Mary. Her attitude shows us that being comes before doing, and to leave the doing to God in order to be truly what he wants. And he points out that Mary didn't say, yes, I'll do what you want me to do, you know, like you say to the children, or can you go and do this for me, or will you be an angel, go and do that for me. Yes, I'll go and do it for you. He points out, Mary didn't say that. She said, let it be done to me. Whatever it is, Lord, that you want, let it be done in me, to me. Not I'm going to get up and do it, but let it be done to me. There's that submission in a sense to the will and the word of God in that, yes, let it be done to me. Maybe that's something for us to reflect on, that God is at work in our own lives. But we needn't say, I'm going to go up and do it. Yes, Lord, if that's what you want, let it be done in me.